Thursday, 29th of November, Yitzhak Kislev, Rabbi Dr. David Gottlieb, Bitochen and Hashtaglos, Rav Dessler.
Good morning. The topic of Bitochen and Hashtaglos, something that's magia to every one of us, and there are a great many makoros in Mishonim, not to mention Chazal. Rav Dessler has two essays, Neis V'Teva, which is background for the subject, and then Bitochen V'Shtaglus, which are classic. They deserve to be studied in detail and read repeatedly. I will just give you the highlights of those ma'amorim, but I hope that as much as I can communicate, it will encourage you to read them either in the original, which is of course preferable, or in the translation to English, which is excellent, and gain the tremendous benefit that you can from those ma'amorim. First of all, the concept of bitochen. Bitochen expresses itself in three ways. Bitochen includes an emuna. I believe that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is running the world, that what happens is not by accident, that each of the incidents in my life is planned for me, it's right for me. Secondly, bitochen is an emotion, a feeling of tranquility, a feeling of confidence, a feeling of being cared for. And thirdly, bitochen is a behavior. A Baal Bitochen measures his ishtaglus, as we will see, according to various criteria. He does not act as if everything depended upon him. Now, understanding that bitochen has these three dimensions, an emuna, a feeling, emotion, and behavior, what would be the mahus, the essence, the definition? Would bitochen be defined by having all three? Or maybe one is a definition and the others are consequences? I think it would be natural to assume that the essence of bitochen is the emunah. One would assume that if I really believe that if Kadosh Baruch Hu is running the world and he's caring for me, then I would feel tranquil, I would feel confident, and I would act in a measured way. It's very interesting that there are makoros that do not define it that way. And I believe that these are the makoros that Rav Dessler is working with. One is the Kodesh Lavavos. In Sharabi Tochen, Perek Aleph, the whole Perek is one page. He says, Bitochen is Sheket Banefesh. Sheket Banefesh. A feeling of tranquility and confidence. He defines bitochen in the emotional way. Of course, to be about bitochen, one has to have the emuna and one has to have the behavior. But the definition of bitochen, the essence of bitochen, is the feeling of tranquility and confidence. And the Beis Halevi al HaTorah, the beginning of next week's Parsha, Miketz, where he talks about Yosef in prison, and that Yosef took too much effort to try to achieve his freedom. That's the Medrash of Chazal. And he too, the Beis Halevi, indicates that bitochen is a matter of one's feeling of tranquility and confidence, as we will see in this Hashem, if I have time to explain to you this. It's a very beautiful and deep work there, the Beis Halevi also. So we are talking about how one feels about the events that take place in the world. Now, my askarina, there have been many people who have learned their hashkafa appropriately. They remember the philosophy, is God running the world? Check off the yes box. When I earn money, is it a gift from a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Check off the yes box. But when such a person looks at others who have less and feels if they have less, it's because they're lazy. If they have less, it's because they're irresponsible. If they have less, it's because they're not trying. If he feels that way, then he has not achieved bitachon. It's very easy to learn the philosophy intellectually and to know which spots to check off on the exam. It's another matter altogether to develop one's feeling If I feel that everything is in the hands of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, if I make money, it's a gift. If he doesn't have money, it's because the Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't give him that gift. Doesn't say anything about his character. Doesn't say anything about his responsibility. Kodesh Baruch Hu distributes gifts for reasons that I can't imagine. So the crucial goal, the crucial challenge in Bitochen is to develop that feeling. Now, in Nesh Teva, what are we supposed to feel? What are we supposed to believe? What is the actual content of the idea that Kodesh Baruch Hu runs the world? Because Deska says that when we say every morning twice that Kodesh Baruch Hu is Machadesh, the Tumu B'chol Yom Tov B'Ma'aseh Bereishis, those words are meant literally. Kodesh Baruch Hu is the Mamtzi, the world, moment by moment, like the Ramchal says in the Derech Hashem. Himtzi U'Mamtzi, says the Ramchal. He made it once, and his Mamtzi called Rega B'Rega. Every moment is a new creation. Every moment is a new Bria. If every moment is a new Bria, then what we call cause and effect is really an illusion. I take a vase, and I release it above the floor, and it falls and smashes. Is it my releasing of the vase that makes it smash? Absolutely not. Because every moment is a new creation. And Kodesh Baruch Hu creates the vase in my hand. When I release it, he creates it above, a bit below, and a bit below, and a bit below. And each creation is a brand new creation. And when it hits the floor, it's a brand new vase. It's not the same vase that I dropped. Each moment is a brand new creation. So of course, what I do at one moment, if the next moment is a new creation, what I do at one moment can't force the next moment to be what it is. Kodesh Baruch Hu is creating it, he's free to create it as he pleases. Cause and effect is an illusion. It's a mistake. But that's a report from his father, a beautiful mushroom. He says, imagine looking through a keyhole and seeing a pen writing on paper. All you see is the pen. So you say, that doesn't fool me. I know the pens don't write by themselves. Someone's holding the pen and making it move, though I can't see his hand. Such a person says, I see the world moving around. I see things occurring. But I know it doesn't happen by itself. I know that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is making these things happen. Says Rav Dessler, that's wrong. That's wrong. Because in that vision, you believe in the pen. And you believe in the paper. You just believe there's a hand that's making it move. But the truth is, there's no pen and there's no paper either. Because every moment is a brand new creation. So thinking that the pen is permanent and fixed, the pen sits there by itself, and something's just moving it around, whether it be the clouds in the sky, or the rain, or the petrol in the engine in your car, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is making them move, is already a failure. Because they have no existence other than the Kodesh Baruch Hu creates them moment by moment. Now this understanding that the world is a divine creation, moment by moment, is something which, as I said a moment ago, is not just to be learned intellectually, it's to be assimilated emotionally. One has to feel it. One has to experience it that way. But that distinguishes five levels in Yishtadlus. On the first level is a person who feels it that way. What would that mean? There's the famous story of the Chanina Mendoza, whose daughter, by accident, brought vinegar to fill the Shabbos lamps. And when he saw that, he said, don't worry, you can put in the vinegar. He who said that oil should burn will say that vinegar should burn. And they put in the vinegar, and kachava, it did burn. What is the attitude of a person like the Chanina Mendoza? To him, he said, it makes no difference to me whether the oil burns or the vinegar burns. No difference. Again, doesn't mean intellectually. When I see it, I get no more excited. I'm no more impressed. I'm no more inspired by the vinegar burning than the oil burning. Because to me, it's all there. It's all of creation of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. I think that the vast majority of people have learned their hashkafa well, but check off the right box. Of course, the Kodesh Baruch Hu makes the oil burn. But if you saw vinegar in your lamps burning, you'll be very impressed. You'll be very astonished. You talked about this nace that the Kodesh Baruch Hu did for you, and you'd be inspired, and your davening would be changed. All of us are like that. Not that there's any of those. Damn, the same inspiration was in the oil burning, even though that's what happens every time, as would be for the vinegar to burn. And therefore, that's what he said. He who said the oil shall burn will say the vinegar shall burn. Not as an extension, but as an application of the exact same thing. For me, oil burning and vinegar burning. It's all a brand new Bria of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And he feels it that way. He's assimilated the emotion of taking the world that way. The other story about Chinni and Adolfo, there was a road in their neighborhood, and it threatened people and injured people. So he said, show me the hole where their road lives. And he took off his sandal and put his heel on the hole. And the arod indeed came and bit him, and the arod died. Arod is a poisonous reptile. And they picked him up on his shoulders and carried him back to the Beis Medrash and said, you see from here, it isn't the arod that kills, it's sin that kills. Here's a person who could command Nisim. He could command Nisim on the dance. And without any fear, sense of desolate, a person who has mastered this appreciation that the world is a divine creation moment by moment, mastered it emotionally as well as intellectually, is a person who can command Nisim. We all know the Maamar Chazal, Ein Tzom Zahaleis, there are exceptions. He says it explicitly, there are exceptions. These people can command Nisim and they can live with Nisim, and indeed, there's no reason why they shouldn't have Nisim. Because once you've mastered it, once you see that the world is only a divine production, and you feel it that way, there's no more reason to hide because Baruch Hu's activity from you. The events that happen to us regularly over and over again, the events we call Teva, are just because it's Baruch Hu hiding his activity. He's as much in nature as he is in Mace. It's all his production. From such a person, nothing is hidden. That's level one. Level two is a person who is working on creating this understanding and appreciation in himself that he has not fully succeeded. He's within nature. He knows intellectually that it's all divine production. And he feels it, but not perfectly, and not perfectly consistently. He has his ups and downs and his emotional appreciation. So that means for him, if the vinegar will burn, there is a hint of inspiration in that. There is a hint of surprise in that. It doesn't exactly like oil burning. But he's making progress. He's steadily making progress in bringing his feelings in tune with his intellectual understanding. More and more, he's experiencing a teva as nes. Says of Dessler, such a person will never see a nes. He'll never see a nes. Because for him to see an ace will distract him from his progress in appreciating that Teva is a divine product. He has to be immersed in Teva. The more immersed he is in Teva, the more progress he will make in clarifying that Teva is a divine production. And with this, the Vesper interprets, Isaiah interprets, he gives a pshat in Chazal, Mamre Chazal. If there's nothing else, the appreciation of the Mamre Chazal that the Vesper gives us, by associating each Mamre Chazal with the appropriate level of bitachon is really a tour de force in understanding Chazal. You have, for example, the Gemara Nida says, Harotzer is Asher Yarbe Betzchora Yisri Yitem Emuna Yisparo Misha Arosha Shalom. Person wants to become rich, let him work a lot. Let him get involved in business and extend himself extensively in business and trade faithfully, and pray to Kodesh Baruch Hu. I don't know when the last time you heard a shmuz, a Musa shmuz, that you should spend a lot of time in business. And the one said, you want to get rich? The Lord is not cursing anyone. You want to get rich? Spend a lot of time. Yar bebeskoro. Do a lot of business. Shmuel, the Amora Shmuel said, in this regard, I am inferior to my father. My father is like fine wine, and I am like vinegar. Why? Because my father went to check the business twice a day, and I only go to check the business once a day. That's why he's inferior to his father. When's the last time you heard a Musa Shmuz that you should check your business often? Twice a day. Everybody else is doing once a day, do double. Says your tester, we're talking about a person who's on Madrega base, the second Madrega, where every involvement with Teva increases his appreciation that it's a divine production. I mean, mainly he's making more and more progress in that appreciation. then such a person should immerse himself in depth. And as we said, you'll never see a nace, because a nace would distract him from this progress that he could make. That's level two. I can't speak for you, I don't know you personally, but I don't know anyone who I would say is on levels one and two. There are levels that are Tzadiki Hador that I don't know that are on level one. It's very rare for a person to be on level one or level two. Most of us are on level three. Level three is a person who knows that Nesis, that Teva is Nesis, that's a divine production, and he is struggling with his feelings, and sometimes he feels more consistently, and sometimes he feels less consistently. Sometimes he's making progress, and sometimes he's in danger of being seduced, sucked under by this terrible illusion of Teva. And he's not guaranteed. It's not guaranteed that he will continue to make progress. Such a person has to be very careful. And it's the criterion of the Shtadlus, such a person that I want to explain to you. And let me first point out what Rav Besser says about Nesis. On the third level, a person may see Nesim. A Kodesh who may, in his Racham, in his mercy for us, say, this person is struggling, and he has ups and downs, and right now he's in danger, so I'll do a Nesis for him to save him. I'll do a Nesis for him to wake him up, so he won't be sucked under. He won't be submerged in Tefah. Notice, by the way, now we have three levels. On level one, the person will see Nisim to Seder. He can command Nisim. On level two, there'll be no Nisim at all. And level three, there can be Nisim. So seeing Nisim doesn't mean you're better or worse. It doesn't follow in terms of levels of achievement. In this regard, the death to quote the famous Chazal, there was a man whose wife died in childbirth. The child survived, and he was poor. He couldn't hire a menekes, a wet nurse. And it says that his breast opened up and he was able to suckle his own child. And on this, there were two statements of Amaroyim. I shouldn't say disagreement. Two statements of Amaroyim. One said, how great is this person? That a Kadosh Baruch Hu did an ace for him. And the other said, how terrible is this person? That a Kadosh Baruch Hu changed his vibrations in order to help him. And so is he great or is he terrible? It depends upon which madrigas you're thinking of. The one who said that he's great said, I understand this person to be on level three. And because he's on level three, like the rest of us, he has his ups and downs. And Kadosh Baruch Hu did a nace to save him from being submerged in Teva. Kadosh Baruch Hu favored him with that nace. He must be a great person. The other one said, if he's on level three, he isn't on level two. Had he been on level two, he would have been a great person. A person on level two will never see a nace. Kadosh Baruch Hu will never change his vibrations for his sake. If he needs to be supplied, there'll be a natural way to supply. If he had to do an ace for him, he's only on level three, and in that respect, he's terrible. There's no disagreement between the two of them. Similarly, machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Yochai said that you should rely on Kodesh Baruch Hu and do no shtavos whatsoever. Because Rabbi Shimon Yochai was on level one. And on level one, you could command this, and indeed, involving oneself in nature per se is a prisus. It's almost insulting to one's madrega. There could be reasons to do it, but in general, it's a prisus. A person should spend his time in the vacus and in a nice mitzvah, such as Tesla, and not be involved in shtadlus, which distracts him from his ruchnius, like Odom and Chav and Gan Eden, where there was no effort to be done. Quoting a Medrash Chazal, and that being the case, he's on level one. Rabbi Shmuel said, I'm not on level one. I'm on level two. And since I'm on level two, I have to go through all of the activities of a normal farmer and learn in the time that I have that's extra time because I can't trust him. I can't trust the reason. Well, Chaim Voloshin said that there's no focus between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shem Bar Yochai. They're talking about different madrigas. On level three, level three, what shall a person do in terms of his status? Our responsibility is to be Baalei Bitochen. The only criterion for his status is Bitochen. That's the only criterion. We have to be Baalei Bitochen. What does Baalei Bitochen mean? It means the feeling of tranquility, the nefesh. Shek is the nefesh, as the Chovos HaLevavos says. Tranquility and confidence. How can I produce that feeling? And here we have a double danger, and each side of the danger has a different implication for Ishtabas. This is a subtle and beautiful idea that Rav Dessler expresses. Let's imagine a person who engages in a project, and he puts a great deal of effort into that project. Time, effort, thought, concern, and he succeeds. What's the danger? The danger is, that my strength and my effort produced it. If you say that my strength and my effort produced it, it means that I'm in charge. I'm making it happen. I'm causing the result. Of course, that's not true. That's simply not true. There is no cause and effect. Every moment the world is a new Bria. If there's a successful outcome to my efforts, it's a gift to my Kodesh Baruch. But it's very difficult to feel that way. The more effort you put in, the more the ego wants recognition for its effort, the more difficult it is to feel that a Kodesh Baruch is giving it to me as a gift. So, when one engages in a project which ends up successful, the more established that you put into the project, the more danger you're in to take credit for it and lose your grasp that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving it to you. That's one half. But the other half is, if you engage in a project and you fail, then the danger is the opposite. If you engage in a project and you fail, and you skimped on your status, you put in less status than normal, there's a great temptation to say, look at that, you know why I failed? Because I was lazy, because I was irresponsible, because I didn't make the appropriate effort. That's why I failed. Now, a person who says, I failed because I didn't make the appropriate effort, the implication is, had I made the appropriate effort, then I would have succeeded. And to say that had I made the appropriate effort, I would have succeeded, means that I'm really in control. I'm really making it happen. I could have controlled it, and I could have produced the result. I just didn't because I was lazy. And it's the same fault. It's the same fault. Both ways, it's the same fault. Sometimes too much establish can lead to this fault, and sometimes too little establish can lead to this fault. And that makes our situation very subtle. Our situation is very subtle. We have to choose, each one of us, an amount of establish that will protect our bitachon best. And this will vary from person to person. There are some people who are more in danger of taking credit for their successes than they are in danger of castigating themselves for their failures. And there are some people for whom it's the opposite. So that's the point to mention the case of that he bought a lottery ticket. His only established will be bought a lottery ticket. He says, I'm not worthy of open Nissan. I'm not worthy of open miracles. I'll buy a lottery ticket. And that's all he did for Parnassus. What is the position of such a person? He's obviously not on level one, or he doesn't treat himself as on level one, because if he was on level one, he would say, I can get open Nissan. And he's buying a lottery ticket because he doesn't deserve open Nissan. Not level two, because on level two, the person should immerse himself in nature. He should work long hours and do tremendous establishments so he can continually be mavarer his grasp and his emotion that the world is a divine production. So he's treating himself as a level three. But at level three, he's saying, what am I more in danger of? Am I more in danger of taking credit for my effort, or am I more in danger of castigating myself for irresponsibility if I fail? And he's saying, I'm more in danger of taking credit for my effort. And therefore, I have to do the absolute minimum effort. How long does it take to buy a lottery ticket? How much a lottery ticket cost? That's 5 minutes, and it's over. If I do any more, and I succeed, I'm in danger of taking credit. Whereas, if I fail, his attitude was, if I don't have, it doesn't bother me. If I don't have, it doesn't bother me. So I'm not likely to say to myself, what a terrible, irresponsible behavior I have that I don't have because of my own lack of effort. It won't bother him that he doesn't have. And therefore, for him to protect his bitachon, the strategy was to do the minimum establish. But that's not true for everyone. That's not true for everyone. For many people, the way to protect one's bitachon is to do considerable establish. Because such a person, if he fails, will castigate himself as irresponsible. And the self-castigation carries with it the implication, as we said, that I could have done it, I could have controlled it, which means it's under my control. The Beis HaLevi says, beginning parts of the case, an idea which took me months to understand. He says that if a person invests establish in supporting his bitachon, he will eventually come to outgrow it. to come to outgrow that necessity because of Toch Shalom Lishma Volishma. If you do a mitzvah for a selfish reason, an inappropriate reason, because you're doing the mitzvah, you're doing the right thing, then of course Baruch Hu guarantees us that eventually we'll come to outgrow that need for the wrong motivation, the selfish motivation, and we'll do it purely for its own sake. By the way, Mr. Salanta pointed that out, something which should be obvious from Chazal, but I had to learn it from Mr. Salanta, I didn't see it from Chazal, that we're only talking about a person who wants to come to the Lishma. It's not a guarantee for a person who, let's say, studies Torah just for money, just for recognition, has no thought whatsoever of serving the Baruch Hu. There are such people. There are such people. There's no guarantee that they will come to do it Lishma. We're talking about a person, and the Gemara is talking to some people. We're not talking to happy person. A front person who knows he should do it Lishma, and wants to do it Lishma, and isn't strong enough to do it Lishma, and uses a Shalom Lishma motivation, eventually it will come to outgrow. So the Beit HaLevi says, this is true about the Tochen Mishpat. I couldn't figure out, where's the Maisa Mitzvah here, and where's the Shalom Lishma here? I'm going to outgrow the Mishpat. I figured out, finally, I think, what he means. Shalom Lishma, Tov Shalom Lishma, Tov Lishma means I'm doing the right thing for the wrong reason. The mitzvah here is the mitzvah of bitachon. Bitachon, as we said, is a feeling. It's an emotion. The mitzvah is to have that emotion, to have that attitude, to have that feeling. What shall I do in order to have that feeling? Ideally, Lishma would be that I have that feeling, I have that emotion because of my emunah, because I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. Trouble is, as we all know, and as the whole Muslim movement was designed to correct, and the Hasidic movement was designed to correct, emotions don't always follow what you know. You can know something clearly, and your emotions don't express that. Your emotions are out of control. That's common to everyone. So, says the Beit HaLevi, maybe you have the emunah, but the emunah isn't strong enough to produce that emotion of bitachon. You could use hishtadlus to produce it. Hishtadlus is the shalom lishma in doing the mitzvah of bitachon. And then he says, Chazal guaranteed us, that if we do the mitzvah shalom lishma, in this case shalom lishma means using a shalom lishma engine to produce the bitachon, they will come to outgrow. So this amount of hishtadlus that a person has to do changes through a lifetime. A person who spends a lifetime of emunah will go through stages where it will become, with siyata d'shmaya, easier and easier to support one's bitachon, his feeling, his emotional response that Hashem Baruch Hu is giving everything as a gift with less and less hishtadlus. But until that time comes, the person is mechuyev to do enough hishtadlus so that if he fails, he will not castigate himself. That's what brings down the last point that comes to 9 o'clock. That's what brings down a famous measure of 4 kings, how they dealt with their enemies. David HaMelech said, I will chase them, I will catch them, I will defeat them. And the next one said, I can't defeat them, I cannot defeat them, because Baruch will have to defeat them. The next one said, I can't chase them and I can't catch them, I'll stay at home, I'll be mispowel. Because the other HaMelech said, I can't even mispowel. I'll just lie on my bed because Baruch will defeat my enemies. And Tachav in all 4 cases. What's the difference between these 4 cases? Says Rav Dessler, it's how much hishtadlus a person can do and yet not say kochi v'otzim yodi. David HaMelech was in such a majega, he could make all the hishtadlus in the world and give away the gift of the nitzachon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he doesn't feel that he did it. Chizkiyahu was at the other end of the spectrum. He says, if I will pray for it and it happens, I'll take credit. I'll feel that I deserve it. I'll feel that I did it. Immediately he said, I have to go lie on my bed, because Baruch has to do everything. Otherwise, I'm going to lose my bitachon. Yiratzon, because Baruch should give us the focus, not only the mental focus, but the emotional focus, to appreciate and to feel whatever comes to us comes as a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That emotion of bitachon will measure the level of the status that we need to do, and we will serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'nei emunos.